Welcome to Crippled System, episode 220. It is not a prime number.
You don't know that.
It could I do. It's even. It's 2 times 110.
Oh. Or 4 times 55.
That's possible.
Or 8 times 27 and a half.
It's whole numbers.
Prime factorization is 2 squared times 5 times 11.
Good point. That's a good point.
All right. Thanks for watching, guys. My name is Andy, and I play Blacksmiths, and I play Kador.
My name is Nathan, and I continue to play Mulligan Scoia'tael. Although I was looking at Veteran Skellige, but it's a little too common. That's like net decky. It's kind of like playing Crix, you know, when everybody's playing Crix in Mark 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with my Scoia'tael, I think.
And I'm Dave, and I play Kador. Although I did just buy 11 or 10 boxes of Crix for the Privateer Press Black Friday sale.
You did 10 boxes?
Yeah.
6 was enough, wasn't it?
Are you seriously copying Keith's list?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, not doing something very similar. I have pirates in mind.
But you're surprised that David's going to run a list with a caster and 10 of the same underly costed heavy jack?
Well, actually, it's 9 of the same heavily costed jacks, but 10 boxes was the same cost as 9, so I went ahead and got an extra one so I could field a full 10-man unit of Denny 1.
But you're doing it under Gatsby 3 like Keith was doing, or are you doing somebody else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I almost built the same list when Mark 3 came out, but now there's a theme. Now there's a theme list that makes it even better.
Yeah,
and I mean, everybody said no. If you run that at the beginning of Mark III, everybody said no. That's not going to be good because people will just shoot the arms off of your slayers as they always do, and now they all get carapace and theme. So why not?
I don't think it's going to be really that great against like a full Karchev theme though.
No.
I mean, with counter charge, I mean, I'm able to help mitigate that because like one Kador heavy swing is going to take off arms, and that's going to be issues.
Maybe. Best thing about Mark III is that the theme forces are all or nothing, so they don't have tiers, so people stop calling them by the wrong name.
A tier force?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Travis
is
a tier list.
I want to play my tier list. I want to play my tier force. Now it's just actual tiers.
T-E-A-R?
Yeah, of your opponents. Mwah.
Yeah, basically. But no, now I actually am a Kador player because I actually played a game as Kador.
Ooh. I didn't.
You should. True Kador's story. Fun.
Announcements!
Announcements!
Yeah, we're really kind of murr.
No. Boom. Shaka waka 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 boom boom. Rock that dinosaur. You got a thing with the things in the next Saturday?
It is.
The 9th, right?
The 9th.
Yeah, so.
Yep. So not this coming Saturday. This coming Saturday is actually SteamCon down in Chicago.
Okay.
Which is Steamforge's little thing. And then on the 9th will be Who's the Boss over in Milwaukee. You should go sign up. Damn it. Sign up.
So anything interesting?
Stop making goddamn events on the same day, Chicago.
Anything interesting going on at
SteamCon?
Second
Saturday of the month. Yeah. They do that.
Because I'm actually going to be in Chicago on the 2nd, but I wasn't planning to go to SteamCon, but maybe I'll drop in.
SteamCon, you need tickets.
No.
I mean, you might, I don't know if they have any type of visitor pass or anything like that, but, you know, it's all, it's all Guild Ball stuff.
Well, aren't they going to announce their War Machine Killer at SteamCon?
It's not announced as a War Machine Killer.
I'm just channeling the internet here.
No, it's God Tier, which is their version of a.
Or God Tear. God Tear.
Tear.
They
consistently referred to tiers of gods in the game, in their announcement.
Well, maybe they tear off pieces of gods. You said they were pieces of gods.
Yeah. Which would result from a god being
called
torn.
It tiers.
Well, that's just their accent.
Yeah. No, it's not their accent.
They're New Zealanders, and so they say tear wrong. It's not New Zealand. Like, that's a tear, mate. Tear right off.
Piss off, ghost.
Piss off, ghost.
Oh, so I have an announcement.
So do I.
There are only 4 days remaining to register for the America's Team Championship.
Son of a bitch. That was my announcement.
Well, but the rest of my announcement is, God damn it, go sign up for Who's the Boss. Because we need more people to go to Who's the Boss. It's a goddamn amazing event.
Do it for the kids.
Yeah. Lots of kids. There's going to be food there. There's going to be amazing cards that Andy has taken forever to print and to make.
Where can they sign up for it, Andy?
They can sign up for it over at it's a link that's going to be on our page in about 2 seconds.
Because I see the ad like on my Facebook.
And it's not actually an ad. It's a thing that only you can see because you're an admin on the Crippled System page.
It's an ad that doesn't exist. But correct. It's like, here's something that could be an ad if you gave us money, says Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
But with the private to press forums basically not existing.
Yeah. I mean, I could post it over on there. But yeah. Somebody made a...
Not including Nick made a good joke, but it has a word that Twitch doesn't trust, so it was not posted to our chat. Oh, man.
He knows what he did.
No, well, it's funny because not right now with the Christmas music being on, but at work we have Common People. The British song is on my Muzak, and that they talk about hanging out at the bars and smoking cigarettes, but since they're British, they don't say cigarettes. And it's hilarious as an American hearing that word just on our Muzak. Just, you know, la, 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 shopping, 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 fags, la, la, la. And you're like, oh, I wonder how many of my, 60-year-old customers know that in England that just means cigarette.
Hey, Arctic Circle.
But yeah, so sign up for Who's the Boss, which is on the 9th. And then while you're at it, also sign up for the ATC. It's the last week to sign up for the ATC.
Hey, you there took is my more announcement. People actually going to the Who's the Boss.
Yeah, there's people going.
Yeah. I'm not going to be there. Currently, I can only do stuff every other weekend because of my wife's work schedule. But otherwise, I would be there. And
I usually do stuff every other weekend, and I work this weekend, so I might be able to do it next weekend. But it's the holidays, and I work retail, so I also don't get days off. Except for today, which I almost squandered, but it turned out to not be a squandering. Lucky me. But yeah. Who's the Boss? Awesome. Good fun. Next Saturday. Sign up. And they can just show up, too, right? If it turns out that they can make it, you're okay with people just giving you money at the door, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, basically, kind of the reason why we wanted people to sign up beforehand is Travis was working with the Elks Lodge, with the Salvation Army. We're trying to get a list of 4 kids that we can support. I'm not sure how far that is really. Nathan, I think, is the only person that's in the email chain with them in the Elks Lodge. I'm sure it's been glorious.
Yeah, that's good.
The conversations back and forth. But no, the reason why is we want to make sure that the kids get taken care of. That sounded weird, but I didn't mean it to sound weird.
I have to correct Non-Euclidean Nick because he mentioned the William Shatner Ben Folds cover of Common People. And William Shatner and Ben Folds did an album together called Fear of Pop, which has the wonderful song Call Me in the Morning. But the cover of Common People is not on Fear of Pop. It's on Shatner's solo album Has Been, which does not have Ben Folds on that. I forget who sings the chorus on that. I will look that up, but it's not Ben Folds.
Also, a note to Arctic Circle, I am probably about 70% of the way through implementing Company of Iron and Conflict Chamber, so that'll be up soon, but I am working on it.
Is it depressing how much I know about William Shatner music?
Oh, come on now. The way you said that, I couldn't even hear the quotes in your your text.
Oh, Ben Folds produced it. Okay, but he did not sing on it. But he was producer, so I guess what's involved. Yeah, he already put that on the chat the same time I found it up on here. But now it's really bugging me. Who sings the chorus? Joe Jackson. Joe Jackson is the
Michael Jackson's dad?
Yeah, yeah. No. But fuck that guy. Yeah. That is one of my favorite covers ever, though. William Shatner's cover of Common People. It's on my top 10 covers of all time. True story. What are you doing, Andy?
I'm trying to take something in here.
That was one of the nice things about
allowing me to tag.
Growing up in Lexington, Kentucky, is that there would just be normal life, and then all of a sudden there was Shatner.
Yeah. Ben Folds is not the reason we have spoken song Shatner. Obviously, Rocket Man predates Fear of Pop and Has Been, but Ben Folds, when producing those, realized that that was the best way Shatner could perform. And fuck the haters. I like Shatner's spoken word version of Rocket Man. I like it.
I just like Shatner.
Huh?
I just like Shatner.
Yeah, I like Shatner.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me what he's in. He's amazing in just about everything that he's in. I mean, he's the reason why I watched a practice.
Yeah, or was the Boston Legal, that show?
But that's the sequel to the practice. Yeah, because basically the final season of that was just Shatner just running around going Denny Crane, Denny Crane, and that was the best. And then James Spader and him made Boston Legal. It's so fucking good. Sorry, I'm posting something.
Okay, quick talk War Machine while he's distracted, David.
I will cut the mics.
See, it occurred to me that Brian Kerr hadn't been on in a long while as well. And so if we get Brian Kerr and David and like maybe one or two other people who actually want to talk War Machine, you can have a War Machine podcast
together. Yeah, I think at this point we're going to have to spin off a War Machine podcast.
I don't think Brian Kerr wants to talk War Machine.
He used to be the one that pushed for it.
He pushed for it, but have you seen his list of games that he brings to Friday nights?
He's been playing a lot of 40K right now, which I don't really get anymore.
Yeah. He'd still talk about it.
Yeah. We talk about War Machine.
We need to get Travis on this podcast. On more.
No.
He likes to talk about War Machine.
Travis doesn't like to come to Milwaukee or to Madison and Milwaukee, too. He just likes to live in Waukesha.
He and I will be about the same distance from Madison if I go forward with my current plans. You
should not go and buy the convent.
It depends. We're going to go look at it and see what it looks like.
Are you? So you're seriously going to go look at it?
Dude!
I mean, if you're talking like a convent like in like middle United States, probably, but you're talking like northern or in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bitch to heat.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what, you know, space heaters and sweaters are for.
Yeah, 1,400.
Winter doesn't exist anymore, so it's okay. Yeah.
I actually looked at the realtor length of that, and if it was anywhere near where I was living, I would seriously consider that, because that's an interesting building.
Yeah. The weird thing, though, I don't know if you looked at, like, the Google Earth, like, overhead map of it. It's... Yeah. On the school grounds. Like, it's in between the main building and the basketball courts. It's just right there in the middle of a Catholic school grounds, the convent that they don't use anymore, so they're just selling it. Which is weird. Meh. Come on, Andy. I can own a convent. That's mm-hmm. all that matters.
Yep. Mm.
You forget that my dream house is anything that isn't a house. You give me a fire station, an old abandoned school, a fucking warehouse. I don't care.
I was like, I came fairly close to buying one of the nuclear missile silos when they first sold them. Because when they first sold them, they were reasonably priced, and then the speculators got a hold of them, and now they cost about three times as much as what they were originally.
Similarly, they sold off a whole bunch of the oil rigs, like out on the ocean. They sold a bunch of those off. I'm like, dude, that'd be amazing. Like, if I had some kind of a work-at-home job where I didn't actually have to go anywhere, I would live on an oil rig.
Well, that'd be an issue, though. It's like, I can't connect in to work today. It's wavy out.
You get satellite.
Yeah.
And a generator.
It's the worst. Have you run on satellite internet?
Listen.
Satellite internet is pretty poor.
Actually, I think they have underwater cables, don't they, going out to those things? They generally probably don't rely on it. Yeah, so as long as somebody doesn't drag their anchor or sharks don't chew through it, I'd have cable.
Well, I look forward to the Mark Wahlberg film about your future disaster.
I'd be more like that guy who just decided to go into the wilderness one day and then just starve to death.
There's
not the grizzly man, but the into the wild guy.
No, there's also the grizzly man's more interesting though.
Yeah, but there's also the guy too that lived like 20 years outside of a town and like lived in people's attics and just wandered into town, just stole things and then went back out into the woods.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I'd do that.
Oh yeah. So any more announcements other than ATC? You know, your sign-up is closing. Your window is closing within the next 4 days.
Yeah. End of November. We got so not quite the whole week. You got through Thursday.
Yeah.
And we're excited. We have a bigger turnout than last year, so the event continues to grow, but there's still room because we made sure from the very beginning to get a big enough space to hold as many people as possible. So there is room. And if you can't scrounge up a team... You know, Soul Mass still has room. I know there's several people that have messaged us that have teams. They're still jumping on. Like Lust is at 11 people right now. So they're trying to see if they can get up to 15 or if they end up with two teams and a couple Solo Masters people. So I know there's still people waiting until the last minute. But the last minute's It's the second to last minute right now, so last minute ain't too far off.
Still some spots open for Guild Ball as well.
Oh, so yeah. Guild Ball, and then we discussed some stuff. I can't remember if this has been posted yet, but because Guild Ball, like, list lock isn't until, like, January or something, so it's not necessarily pressing right now. But we did discuss that there would be no captain restrictions on the Guild Ball teams for the team event.
Because
in War Machine, you know, on a team, you can only have the same Warcaster once through the whole team. Because of Blacksmiths, that was a really difficult thing to transport over into the Guild Ball event.
That's going to be something that's probably going to be addressed in their official organized play eventually. Because Blacksmiths have not been official yet until, like, last week.
Right. So that might be a thing, but for now, the way we're doing it is just no restrictions, you know, so you can have the same, I mean, obviously, number one, blacksmiths are weird because they don't really put their captain in their list like normal.
No, they just have masters and apprentices.
Right, and so unless we forced people to, like, put an asterisk on their list behind which master was going to be their team leader, like, or team captain, I mean, it would just be weird. And then even ignoring that, we decided just, you know, whatever. So there's no captain restrictions on the Guild Ball teams.
Do you want me to hurt your brain a little bit?
Huh? No. You didn't hurt my brain at all.
No. Do you want me to hurt your brain a little bit?
No. I mean, you can. It probably won't.
So there's eventually going to be guild identities for the teams.
Theme lists.
Yeah, which are basically themeless. So you take this ability, and then it just makes it so you can't heal. You have two abilities to heal other players in that, and it just lessens or it makes that number bigger. Depends on what guild identity you have. Blacksmiths have a guild identity that makes it so every single turn you could change who's your captain.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I saw you using that.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't play with it, but we talked about it.
Yeah. You showed me that when you were playing Blacksmiths. But anyway, the new Blacksmith and Farmers sets, because this matters with SteamCon being this coming Saturday because they're going to be available there, the new Blacksmith and Farmers sets will not be legal because they won't be universally available, unfortunately, by the time of the ATC.
Just to let everybody know, I don't know how many people we actually have that listen to us that play Guild Ball, but it follows pretty much the same thing as most places go for retail releases and events. You know, you can't play with the item unless it's been retail available.
Right. Theme benefit, Nick. Theme
you,
benefit.
You, that's you right now. You're the fish biting at the bait.
Yeah.
The troll got you. God. Like, if he was wearing a Shrek costume, he couldn't have been a more obvious troll, David.
I bring shame to my family.
A donkey costume.
What? Donkey's not a troll.
That would just
make got you.
Better.
What? I'm leaving. I still have time.
See, when I told you I was trying to hurt your brain, it wasn't because of the blacksmith quote. It was because of that.
Okay. So what's the current date for list lock for ATC?
For ATC?
Yeah.
List lock is, well, sign up. When is list lock date then? Yeah. That's a good question,
talking
David.
To Dan, it got pushed back, didn't it?
Were the Guild Ball and the War Machine ones at the same time? Let me double check the player packet. Talk amongst yourself.
I am not sure if the Guild Ball is on the same time as, but I mean, I thought it was a little bit weird when we were originally talking about this back then, that you could actually list lock your, basically put in a list for something with an unreleased model that would be released by the event date.
Why is that weird?
I just find it weird. What if there's a manufacturing issue?
I mean, but we'll deal with that if it happens, right? I mean, but I mean, there's no reason to restrict the people. There's a reasonable expectation of what they'll be able to bring, and that model's expected to be available. So, meh.
I got nothing else.
You got nothing else? Silence.
Is there any level of complexity for Guild Ball lists that warrants adding it to Conflict Chamber?
For Guild Ball? No. Okay. Not exactly. I mean, most teams right now, most of the main guilds have only 12 choices.
Yeah.
Two of those are captains. Two of those are mascots. So you're looking at 8 team members. And then each guild has got maybe 5 or 6 union choices that they can have.
Mm-hmm.
Most I see will take a couple, maybe one union choice. But otherwise, they're generally all pure.
Yeah, and they don't have points or anything. They're just bring X players, right?
X players, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main reason that they're pretty simple, is that you don't have to, like, math or anything like that. I mean, on the other hand, I'm sure it's easy as fuck to code then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
just a word of warning after, so they announced, like minor guilds for all the guilds, as the minor guild is made public, the union choices for that team go away. So like the first minor guild is for morticians. They get rat catchers. Means that the morticians' union choices will go away and they will only have access to the rat catchers for their other
teams. They're their choices. Own personal kind of union.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, it would probably be easy to code. Basically, yeah. Give everything character, status, and cost one. And, you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you load up GB Scrum, it'll have all the choices right there. And it'll be really easy to get.
GB for Great Britain, obviously. Great Britain Scrum.
Guild Ball Scrum. Damn it. And as far as I know, Steamforge does not care what you do with cards. So, I mean, GB Scrum, they have all the cards posted right into there. And it's Steamforge knows about it, and I don't think they care.
I mean, my main reason for doing this would just be to allow list submission to events ahead of time, because the actual list editing itself seems to be pretty simple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
List lock is January 1st, by the way.
January 1st.
Right. That is what it says on our website. It's January 1st is list submissions. January 3rd is when we will publish is the word. That list, January 3rd is when we will publish the lists and scenarios. And then the event is the 13th and 14th.
Yep. So for some odd reason, somehow there's a miracle that happens that, that Blacksmiths 2 or Farmers 2 boxes get released by January 1st or by January 14th, then you could take them. But
that just guarantees that there's going to be an earth-shattering errata dropping on the 10th.
What's interesting to me is that like four people specifically told me, hey, you guys have to do a solo masters because we want to come and do the solo masters. And none of those four people have signed up for the solo masters yet. Sure, one of them is in her third trimester, but excuses.
Yeah. We got wheelchairs.
Yeah. Come fucking play pregnant. Whatever, Danielle.
Yeah. And I think I actually offered to play the game for her. Like she would be the one that would dictate, you know, where things would go in that, and I would push the models. She could be the Baron Harkonnen of the ATC.
I think in general you don't compare women to Baron Harkonnen.
That's probably very true.
Not very flattering.
I was just saying that he just kind of float around and dictate things. Yeah, that's mainly what I was trying to.
Sex with Sting.
Not in the movie.
Ah.
It's like, been a while.
They
since
didn't
I've
have
seen the
a
movie.
Sex scene, but they were definitely lovers.
Man, I don't remember that movie at all.
Like when they introduce him, like Baron calls him like my sweet, sweet fade, and he like is caressing his cheeks and everything. Like
could be his favorite gladiator.
I mean that too.
I mean,
yeah,
I do that to you. Like at the game store,
nobody needs to know that I'm your sweet fade.
I think it's on Baron Harkonnen. Man.
That's a good Halloween costume. How come none of the big fat nerds like us are ever Baron Harkonnen for Halloween?
Somebody would poke us and we'd just fly away.
You just need to get like one of those, like the scooty things that babies have, like where they sit in it and just like scoot around.
You could all, they can get a bunch of, PC fans to put on you too. Circulating and such.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll get on that cosplay.
Yeah. That's an idea, though. Just go into the bin. It's a great idea, but I'm never going to do it.
I think my 4-year-old could make a convincing Alia.
There you go. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
The harder part is to do that, the armor cosplay from Dune.
Which armor?
That the weird
Like
armor.
The shields? Yeah. Well, the force
you just
field.
Need, like the cardboard boxes that will work out.
Well, it has to be clear, right?
Has
so
to
you
be
have
clear?
To like yellow. You have to get like gold cling film basically, and put on like wireframes and wear it.
It's got to be distorted enough because you can see what's behind it, though. Right. But it's got to look. Yeah,
well, it has that like gold shimmer to it,
yeah,
or orange, whatever color.
You can go over like a right light spray paint. Over the glass, though. But the glass has got to be all warped on the inside, so...
Oh, I wouldn't do glass. Someone will trip you and you'll die.
Well, that's...
I'm thinking they have to
that's the
to
price
have,
you pay for doing that cosplay.
They have to have
you can do plexiglass.
Thin plastic like saran wrap, but colored at craft stores. Right? Like, sure. They have to have, like, basically colored, and then you would just wrap it on, like, a wireframe and just wear that. And you'd need two of you and just to knife fight wearing that in the middle of the street.
Nobody would know what's going on. Nobody would get that.
It would be worth it for the one guy who recognizes it.
Oh, man.
Yep, true story.
Yep.
Yep.
Andy's horn is gone.
Yeah, I put it underneath the table.
Why? What about Mr. No Smack on the Table guy, you hypocrite? I didn't smack on the table.
No, whatever. This is not Nathan, an audio-friendly podcast.
Don't Holy break Andy.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do that for so many episodes. Brian always did it for me, and so now I had to do it.
No.
Chats talk about blacksmiths or some shit.
Who's
They're a hard match to play. They need the new models and black mages in the way. Influence tricks. Super influence starved are the blacksmiths. He plays hunters into them. Take that, blacksmiths with hunters. I don't know what any of that means.
So
that's not it, Joe. The influence is basically Guild Ball's version of focus.
Pretty much. To be perfectly honest, actually, hunters do, depends on what hunters team you're playing. They actually do fairly well against blacksmiths. Blacksmiths, one of their big bonuses is the fact that they are resilient to actual physical damage.
Right.
Hunters
put conditions on them, right?
Hunters can put a lot of conditions out, and blacksmiths have a hard time against conditions.
Except for burning.
Actually, only one of them doesn't care about burning.
Well, hunters don't put burning out, is that maybe?
Possibly.
I don't know. The chat said except for burning, and I was trying to sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, conditions suck for them. Basically, any kind of character plays. Character plays are basically Guild Ball's version of magic. So if you cast a magical spell against right. guys in heavy armor, it generally does not do well for them. So, yeah. So it's, yeah.
Fair
It's my enough. Limited experience with playing blacksmiths, into which I've played them into alchemists and hunters, and both times were not fun. Right.
Meanwhile, I think I've finally reached the point where I need to replace my Avalok the Sage with something more consistently effective in my deck.
Mm-hmm.
He's my equivalent of playing like Gudrun, like something that I think is wacky fun, but it's not actually tournament viable, and it's time to replace him with like Maximus.
Yeah, it's a time that you've graduated from the... That you've graduated. That you're like, I am tired of... I want to champion this because it's fun, but... I want to win.
Well, no, I'm still winning. I'm still climbing up the ranks. It's okay. Just I've reached the point where, like, you know, I've got the one model. I'm like, yeah, he's not the best, but I like him. He's fluffy, you know. And here's one that I know is strictly better, but I like this guy. You know, he does the things and the stuff, and he's fun. And I'm reached the point where, you know, if I want to keep going, if I want it to be less of a struggle to advance, it's time to go. Okay, sweetheart, you're fun. You're cute. You're out.
Yeah, it's like you're the mob, and you got your cousin that you brought along just to be the enforcer.
Right.
But he's just not doing it. I mean, he's your favorite cousin, but he's not doing it. So you're like, nah, we got to get Jimmy over here because he gets shit done.
Yeah. I mean, it's more like, you know, the people who like the free, like, go back to Mark 1.
Sure.
Even Mark 2. And they're like, I like the freebooter because he can do this and you can throw and maybe you can do this stuff. And he's doing all this neat stuff with his throwing and the throws. And you're like, yeah, but there's nomads.
We've mathematically proven, yeah.
Yeah, the nomad's better. And the guy's like, yeah, I know, but with the throwing and the choo-choo and it's fun. And I like the freebooter with the throw. And I'm like, that's true, but nomads. I've reached the point where I need to take the freebooter out of my list.
For a while there, we were going to talk about making Crippled Systems' official mascot is the freebooter.
Yeah, I like my no booter. But yeah. I mean, you've played enough card games, both of you, that you'll understand this. So in the in Gwent decks, you have your bronzes, silvers, and golds. And the golds are the really good cards, and you're limited to four in a deck. And silvers are deigned good cards. You're limited to 6 in a deck. And then bronzes, you can have infinite. You have to have at least 15 because a minimum deck size is 25.
They're like lands or so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're nothing costs anything. It's more just like common, you know, things, you know, whatever. You know, they're whatever, sure. Cheap, easy, whatever.
Actually, I actually think it's a really neat mechanic for putting a deck together after playing Magic for on and off for 2 decades. And it's like, okay, yes, the only cards worth playing are the $20 a card rares.
Right.
Good luck.
And this they know this, and they're like, okay, cool. You can only have 4 of them in your deck because they're that good. And also what's nice is when you build stuff with scrap like you do with Dust and Hearthstone, all the golds cost the same. There's no like people who are starting to play Gwent, they'll go on like the Reddit or they'll go on the forums and like, what's a cheap deck to build? And everybody's like, they literally all cost the same. But anyway, so Avlok the Sage is a card that I got in a deck, and he's a gold. You play him, he's only a 2 strength. Which is terrible. Like, 1 is the least, and 2 is pretty fucking terrible for a gold. But what he does is he searches your opponent's deck for a random silver or gold, copies it, and plays it on your side.
Okay.
So you get a 5th gold, possibly, and it could be anything. It could be a boat, right?
You can only have 1 of him in your deck?
Yeah, you can only have 1 of any card. 1 of any of the golds or silvers. Okay. And the bronzes, you can have up to 3.
Could be another sage.
It could be another Avlok the Sage would cascade into pulling another one of theirs, but it copies so you don't cheat them. Currently it's not likely to be another Avlok the Sage because I think I'm the only person who actually plays this card. But it's fun because you can get some random shit, and sometimes you'll pull something really good and you'll play things that are illegal for your deck. Like I can pull a Northgard gold out of somebody's deck and play it in my Scoia'tael list, which can be really cool but can also be terrible because I'll pull a card that says like all of your Northgard cards get plus 50 billion and automatically win the game, and I'm like, I don't have any of those. That sucked. Or once in a rare while, somebody has no golds or silvers left in their deck, and I just shit out a 2 strength gold, and I'm like, aww. But no, it's a really cool mechanic. I think it's fun and neat, and it's a very YOLO-y, it's a very Andy kind of card, because I'm like, yeah, I don't know, this will be cool. Play it down. Well, something flies out of the woodwork. Who knows?
That's exactly what I was asking, is if you can have more than 1 of them, because my 4 golds would be 4 of them.
I'm like the Sage.
Yeah.
Woo! Who knows what's happening?
Yeah, what kind of shit do you got for me here?
Yeah.
God, that would be so annoying, though. It's like if you know, I was taking on somebody who had a very powerful, you know, gold collection, and they're just like, nope, I got 1 too.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely won me games, but I've noticed that like when I'm most excited is when he pulls out like a 13th strength gold. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, 15 total strength play. And I'm like, wait, there's golds that are just 15 strength. like I could just have that already without the gamble of a nothing.
Yeah, again, no, I'd be all over that.
But it's, yeah, that's the thing, is I like it. And so until I hit a brick wall, I think I'll keep him in there, but eventually he might have to go.
Oh, is that, so he's your freebooter?
He's my freebooter. Oh. He's wacky fun. Sometimes he's amazing, but mathematically speaking, he's not very consistent.
So is there any resource in that when you're using Gwent to pull out things, or is it just whatever's in your hand?
What do you mean?
Like generally, like Magic.
Oh, yeah.
To bring things out, you have to have X amount of mana out there, or Hearthstone, you have to have
power. Take turns. On your turn, you play a card, or you pass for the round.
Okay.
And that's it. There are no costs. Everything is just a card play.
Oh, did I... So Nick is asking if I ever played Skaven. Unfortunately, I did play Warhammer Fantasy back in the day when Warhammer Fantasy was really meant to be fully painted.
Sorry, there was an ice block in the way of my straw. I tried to do it away from the microphone. Yeah.
But it was during the days of when Warhammer Fantasy was really strictly fully painted. And I knew if I ever wanted to play Warhammer Fantasy, there would be no chance for me to do tournaments in that, to have Skaven.
Plus, you're obviously a dwarf guy. I'm a Skaven of the crew.
No, I love Skaven.
Oh, do you?
I do. I love Skaven. I do. I love the fact that you can fire upon your own troops. I love the randomness and the rattling guns. I love the screaming bell.
Why is bringing it up?
I love that they have
an army-wide special rule called "Life is cheap."
Exactly. they don't care. They have a bunch of Skaven slaves they just throw in front of their troops, and if they run, well, whatever. You know, I really love them, but like I said, to play back then, you had to have fully painted force. It's not like how it is now. I don't think it's really that big of a restriction anymore, but painting 400 rats was kind of an undertaking, and I didn't really believe in dipping armies.
Well, you paint slowly and well. Yeah. I could paint 400 Skaven really quickly because they would look bleh.
Well, Well, to be honest with you, that's kind of what you would expect to see out of a Skaven.
Yeah.
Some kind of rotty, shoddy armor and some, you know, some brown fur. And
brown fur, some gray, like not even bright silver, like some iron color on the armor, some brass on a few other armor parts. Dip them, flick them. That guy's done.
Yeah. Basically, my main army, though, was undead. I did play them pretty much. So I went from having life is cheap Skaven rats, not having life is cheap Skaven rats, to having 50-some zombies in a list.
Yeah, I almost played Lizardmen, and then I was in the middle of getting stuff ready for a game, and my wife left my Lizardmen on the back shelf of a car with a black interior and the closed in the summer.
Hmm. So you had lizard puddles.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That was the thing I did not realize. I thought it was kind of the square bases that come in Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah.
If you leave them out enough for the models to melt, they curve down so that all of the edge, the corners on them look something like a weapon because they like curve in together, and so there are four spikes going in the same direction.
Nice.
It's really kind of bizarre.
Were you here when I was talking about have you heard about Virtual Magic? It used to be a place over in Milwaukee or in the Milwaukee area.
No.
It was a paintball place. At the same time, it had a Warhammer at the time. And somebody took a header down a flight of stairs with their Lizardman army.
Oh, no.
That it was the same 6th edition Lizardman, too, probably about the time you were getting started into them. So they were the very, very spiky sauruses and stuff. Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Because paintballs and stairs with carpeting on them don't mix. It was a neat kind of idea, but horribly executed.
So there was a place where by Oswego, where I went to high school, that was laser tag and the BattleTech pods combo. So that was cool.
Oh, laser tag and that. I was thinking paintball and the BattleTech things.
No.
I'm like, no, that'd be horrendous.
No, it was laser tag.
You'd have people tracking in paint and those. We used to play laser tag at one of our old schools over in Mayville. They used to have kind of like shut-ins. It was a Lutheran school, so they used to have shut-ins over the weekend, and then we would just play laser tag there, which was really kind of fun. So the whole school would be empty with all dark, and then people running around with guns.
Yeah, I always thought like if there was a hospital that they closed down, and not necessarily the hospital because that would be too big and expensive, but some kind of like old hotel or something like that, if you could buy it and make it into like a laser tag or a paintball thing, because you could do like the Counter-Strike, like terrorists with hostage versus the invaders and just sweep rooms and everything. And that would be really cool versus just doing it out in the fields.
Yeah.
You could do the creepy asylum thing. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. Creepy asylum. I always didn't like playing laser tag though too, because it would have everybody walking sideways with their gun or walking backwards with their gun.
Yeah. That don't work in paintball.
Yeah.
No. I did play laser tag when I was in the army too.
No, those were guns, Andy.
No, they actually have adapters onto your rifles that plug up into the barrel, and then they have a sensor at the end of it. So when you actually pull and shoot blanks out of it, it actually fires off the laser, and then you have on all of your Kevlar gear. And the reason why I remember is because it sucked. You had a huge UV vest that you wore and a UV thing on your helmet.
I'd be surprised they don't do that a whole lot more often in the Army, just for training.
That's where it was. It was at it was in the Mojave Desert, which I spent my December in. And deserts in December, not fun. Very warm, very cold.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
People don't think about how cold deserts get at night.
Yeah. It was great waking up in the morning with my cup of water that was sitting next to my cot and my cup of water would be frozen. I'm like, oh, well, this sucks.
Yeah, the first time I ever went to Tucson was in the fall, and it was still 80 degrees during the day. And I asked the taxi driver as we were going to the hotel, it's like, why do you have a jacket next to you? And it's
the
like, oh, because it will
down.
Get cold. And I was not ready, and I was outside when the sun set, and it dropped 30 degrees in 5 minutes.
It's like in what is it, Riddick?
Yeah.
The Chronicles of Riddick. Well, the sun is rising, and then it's, you know, everything is starting. Oh, I hate that part so much.
Chronicles of Riddick. That movie, I probably wouldn't have hated if I had known that I would hate it.
I actually really...
Like, it's just so different than Pitch Black. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's like, I saw Pitch Black, and then I go see Chronicles of Riddick, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? If I had just seen it by itself, like, and not had the expectation, it's just so jarring.
I mean, I liked Pitch Black, but Pitch Black is basically your average, not average, I'd say it's above average, monster
Pitch Black
flick.
Was a good, I mean, Pitch Black was a good, science fiction suspense film, and then Chronicles of Riddick was...
simple, not average, because you're not talking quality, you're talking complexity, I think is the point you're making.
Correct, correct. It's just, it's dark, there's monsters, people have to survive in the dark.
It's standard, but well executed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, and then Chronicles of Riddick is bad fan fiction about a cool character from Pitch Black.
Yeah, I don't think it's really that bad.
The amount of mythos in there, though, is your point. Like, it's so much shit.
They loaded way too much mythos in there too. If the Chronicles of Riddick were actually like two movies or even three movies,
or a television series,
it might have been better. Because I mean, they really kind of painted themselves into a corner how they ended it.
Yeah.
The other Riddick, is it just Riddick?
Yeah, just called Riddick. Yeah.
That one. Nigel has got an amazing rant on that movie.
Yeah, it's basically just a remake of Pitch Black,
pretty much. I didn't mind. I don't mind those Vin Diesel flicks at all.
So speaking of bad movies, how was Justice League?
It was really good. I enjoyed Justice League quite thoroughly.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
because I saw earlier today that you said you liked it. You posted on your Facebook wall. Did you see Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
You did see it?
Yeah, I saw it at home, the director's cut with all the extra footage and everything. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if it was one of those that you probably thought that you may have read enough where you just decided I've seen it
I decided I needed to be honest with my hatred, and so I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That movie is pretty bad, though. Batman v Superman...
I didn't see the non-director's cut, but yeah.
How does she know to go get the spear?
How does she know anything? How does anything? All the complaints about Batman v Superman are valid. And I mentioned this in my Facebook thing. Did you see Justice League or no?
No, I'm not.
I was going to, and then I realized it was too much money.
You'll probably see it once it hits Netflix.
Yeah, that's fine. But like...
Will you go see it with me again on Tuesday?
Morning? I close. Oh. I work 1 to 9, so no.
Damn.
Unless it's like a 10 o'clock showing, but then you don't get out of there till midnight. Anyway, like this is what I said on my Facebook, but all of the reviews have the same things that they say are the problems with it.
Mm.
And I guess like they were there, but you know, none of them were egregiously bad. Like I think it was middle of the pack as far as, you know, superhero films. Like, everybody's always like, the best DC movie is still worse than the worst Marvel movie. And this was, I can name 8 Marvel movies that I thought were worse than this one.
I don't know. The main reason I haven't actually bothered seeing it is because I saw the trailer, and the trailer didn't make me interested in the movie. And that, to me, is the damning thing, that is, if you cannot generate 3 minutes three minutes out of the entire movie that makes me want to see it, I'm not going to see the movie. I mean, the Angry Birds movie had a decent trailer. And I mean, it was a terrible movie, but there were like 3 minutes of humor in the entire thing, and so they had one good trailer.
There might be just an art to making a trailer that some people are bad at.
That may be the case.
The worst trailer I think I have ever seen was that trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yes.
That was an abomination, that trailer. And I actually really liked the new Ghostbusters movie. I laughed for most of that movie. It was really, really funny. But out of all that humor, they couldn't make 3 minutes of entertaining trailer.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, no, well, that's fine.
That doesn't surprise me, because my only complaint with the new Ghostbusters movie was the editing was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that they put the same person in charge of editing as they did putting the trailer together. That would make sense.
Hey, and your lunch break, can you throw this together for us? Yeah.
The interesting thing about, so the villain in Justice League, his army of cronies are all like bug people. Like, they're humans, and they're humanoid, and they're wearing like single piece suits with like the top half of their head covered so their mouth is open, and then they have like goggles, and then they have like 4 insect wings, so they look exactly like Arthur from The Tick if he was evil. It's a whole army of evil Arthurs, and I could not unsee that. I'm just like, what? Those are the dumbest looking cronies. But that was the dumbest thing, was just that it was a whole army of evil Arthurs. Everything else was fine.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, as in just fans liking it. I know it's, I mean, even critically panned, it's still in the 40s, I think, mm-hmm. on Rotten Tomatoes, which is generally a point that we would go see a movie at that point, unless we're pain training it, and unfortunately then it's usually less than 10.
I would see it again in the theaters. I just can't do it with you on Tuesday. I enjoyed it.
Like
I said, a lot of the protestations are blown out of proportion. Like, one of the ones I also heard was, like, I literally could not see the CGI lip, and I saw this thing on a big screen theater, and I was fucking looking for it, and I didn't see a bad CGI lip. And, like, the Wonder Woman Batman forced romance thing with the flirting that people are talking about, they never flirted in the whole fucking movie. Not once. Zero.
Probably had some kind of passing comment of some sort.
No.
No?
Literally nothing. So the two times that were almost flirting was Batman's talking to Alfred, and Batman's like, I want her on the team. And Alfred's like, yeah, I bet you do. And Batman's like, no, like, I just want her on the team because she looks like she can kick ass. And then the scene ends. Like, Alfred made a snide joke about, you know, and Batman's like, nah, I just want someone strong. And then later on, like, after a fight
scene. So you're saying Alfred is the bro in that sequence?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I bet you won. and then later on, like, they have a big fight scene, and they go back, and, you know, everybody else is made out of unbeatable concrete because they're all freaking gods, except Batman's just a 50-year-old dude. And so he's like, in his room, and he's, like, taking off his armor, and he's got, like, bruises and everything all up his back. And, of course, he's undressing, showing sexy Batfleck torso with the bruises. And she comes in, and you're like, oh, God, there's going to be a thing. And there isn't. She helps him reset his shoulder, and they talk for a bit, and then she leaves. Zero flirting in the whole fucking thing. So I think a lot of the negative reviews are just people wanted to hate it, and so they latched onto small things, or in this case, just invented things to be complaints.
I think a lot of people are also really stuck on trying to figure out, like, who directed what throughout the film, too.
Yeah.
And that's, Zack Snyder left the production there for a completely valid reason.
Yeah.
I mean, something happened.
His daughter killed herself.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, that's out of his control and that, what, you know, whatever. But there's just so much hoopla made about, like, which scenes are all Joss Whedon's and which ones are all Zack Snyder's. I have seen somebody wanting to see, like, like the full Zack Snyder version of the movie.
Yeah.
Which, going by his previous movies, though, I would not want to see it. So I think it was probably the Joss Whedon stuff added probably a little bit more humor to it than what was originally scripted.
Yeah, you could see the quips in there. You know, there are little funny moments. Like, I'll spoil a little line that was funny. Spoilers, Superman comes back. Spoilers.
Oh,
it's
spoilers, called, Superman comes back.
It's called the Justice League.
Yeah, but the poster only has five of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's called Justice League.
It's not called The Adventures of Superman Who's Not Dead Anymore. Anyway.
That would be a great table.
So Superman comes back, and so they're, like, doing a big climactic fight, and, like, someone's like, you know, we need to do this, otherwise bad things, and Superman's, okay, well, hopefully we succeed because I like being alive. You know, being alive's great. And then fight happens, and they're all, you know, whatever, and the explosions and punches, and Superman's like, I changed my mind. I want to die. And it was funny, you know, because we're all been like, you know, you're like, oh, God, I just want to die. And so I laughed. And that's the kind of little quip that I'm sure Joss Whedon inserted.
Probably.
Was I changed my mind. I just want to die.
But was it as good as Piss Off Ghost?
It was close. That line was funny. But I think
I like how long it takes for him to show up after Loki disappears.
Piss off, ghost. But no, I thought it was a good balance because I don't remember if I said this on the podcast last week or if it's just something I've said, but I kind of got Whedoned out with Whedon's quippiness in some of the movies. I'm just like, yeah, okay, huh, quip. I get it, quip. It's what you do. And this had less of that. So I think I actually kind of liked the dark Snyder and the quippy Whedon kind of meeting in the middle and melding a little.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I would want to see a version of this by just one of them.
So somebody in our chat had, Jim in our chat had mentioned, is like, has the MCU grown too big? There's potential for the Zappity Grumbles, but I mean, we might as well answer
Zappity
it
right now. At the beginning.
Yeah, no, but might as well answer it now.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it. Has the MCU grown too big? It includes all TV shows, Netflix, ABC, Hulu, etc. And how would you fix it? And to be honest with you, I don't think it's too big. I mean, you're dealing with the Marvel Universe.
Well, I don't think on the whole it's too big. I mean, I think Avengers 2 was not nearly as good as Avengers 1 because Avengers 2 tried to cover too much stuff that the scope of the flagship movie in the series got too big. But I don't think the universe as a whole has gotten too large.
You just do what Marvel Comics does. They have a storyline.
Yeah.
That goes, and you bring in characters into that storyline.
Yeah.
And that's just basically, you have the food, and then they are all the additives. You know, you add in Iron Man, then you're going to throw in maybe Cloak and Dagger show up, and Iron Man and Cloak and Dagger are running around. Yeah. There is a Cloak and Dagger series being made. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's not too big. It's just a matter of doing kind of what they're trying to do with Avengers, is trying to fit everything into one movie. That's going to be difficult.
Yeah, no, I mean, Avengers 1, I think, is one of the best comic book movies that has been made, and was the perfect scope for. They had enough heroes and villains involved that everything made sense. And then Avengers 2, I mean, Avengers 2, the script wasn't as good, but it was just too busy.
Yeah, but you got James Spader talking, and that's one of the greatest things in the world, is just James Spader talking.
Yeah.
I mean, so Doctor Strange, he's only shown up, I mean, he had his own movie, and he's made, I think...
And he showed up in Thor 3 for no reason.
Yeah, he was just there. I mean, they needed
to tie things together.
It makes sense. You know, Thor didn't really have any chance to dimension travel anymore because Heimdall was missing.
Yeah, but like Thor's on Earth and he's like, I can't find Dad. And Strange just shows up and goes, hey, I'm in this movie. There's your dad. And Thor's like, okay, bye.
Yeah,
like he could have just found his dad and you could have had a five-minute shorter movie with no Doctor Strange.
And, well, no, but we also got the great,
you did get
great
some fun
Loki
stuff.
Yeah. Loki falling for 5 minutes. Yeah. Right?
Their shoehorned in five-minute cameo was well executed,
yes,
but not necessary. My thing, so what I was actually thinking about today, with regards to the MCU, so, and I even just did this with Justice League, a frequent thing that we'll say over whether a movie was good or not is whether you'd watch it again, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'd watch that again. The MCU, I don't think, has gotten so big that it's like ponderous, it's going to collapse, that I don't watch movies when they come out, that I don't keep up on it. But it has gotten big enough that I've found that I just don't, like, I'll never watch Age of Ultron again. I'll probably never watch Avengers again, you know? Like, some of the one-off spin-offs I'll watch again, you know, like, I'll probably watch Guardians 2 again or Thor again, like, as things. Yeah. But the big tentpole ones with all the main plot drive, it's just like, I'm done.
I've watched Avengers more than once.
Yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's just so much. Like, when we were on, like when Avengers came out, you could do the marathon, right? There was the thing where people watched all the movies, and it was like a 12-hour thing, but it was doable. Now there's like 80 hours of Marvel stuff, and it's just like, okay, there's all this shit. I can't be bothered anymore.
It's difficult to, if you, let's say, want to, in a sense, like when a new Game of Thrones book comes out, you want to marathon the four books, five books before that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that with Marvel anymore, unfortunately. You almost have to pick up. It'd be better if they labeled everything, because they did originally have everything be labeled as waves. It'd be better if they put
it
everything.
It still is. It's just this is still wave fucking. Like,
no, it's wave three.
Wave three, yeah.
But I mean, if they labeled their all the movies with waves, so you go like, I can watch all of wave one series, basically seasons in a sense for movies.
I believe Infinity Wars is going to be like, kind of a, okay, that's all done with now. Now's the new, like, I think, like, that's going to be a huge break-off point where they're going to start up new things.
Well, I mean, everything in the MCU so far is setting up Infinity Wars.
Correct.
So, but I mean, my
everything
concern,
up to a point also set up the Avengers, right? But it just kept going after that. Like, Infinity Wars needs to have been set up and also be an ending point.
Yeah. Well, it was clear that Infinity Wars was being set up. I mean, from the beginning. I mean, well, okay, maybe not Iron Man, but I mean, the first stone was in First Avenger.
The Tesseract.
Yeah, the Tesseract in Captain America: The First Avenger was really.
I don't believe it was actually in Iron Man at all. I don't think it had.
No,
it may have had something at the very end tied, maybe.
But the thing is, that wasn't even necessarily going to the Infinity Wars, because that all tied into the Avengers, because they tied, you know, he had that, and then Loki tied in from Thor to get it, and then he used it in the Avengers. Like, up until that point, it was still all just Avengers related.
Yeah, but I mean, the Tesseract in Captain America: The First Avenger was strongly hinted to be an Infinity Stone.
Yeah, and actually the
Anyone who had not read the comic books, there was no mention of that. There was no nothing of that. It was just, here's a thing.
Correct.
And now Loki wants to use the thing. There was no hint that there were more than one of it. There was no hint that it was part of a bigger thing. It's just a MacGuffin that they were using in multiple movies. It wasn't until Thanos showed up that people were like, "Argh!"
Well, Thanos showed up so long ago, too, as well. He showed up at the end of Avengers.
Yeah. Well, and that's my point. Really, pre-Avengers, everything was all, here's characters building to the Avengers, and here's one MacGuffin. And then in Avengers, when they're like, ha-ha, it's one of the many MacGuffins, and that's when it switched gears.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they had a couple of the gems before Avengers popped, because the Tesseract was different, and also Loki's gem that he was using for his mind control was different, too. It wasn't the Tesseract.
Was it not?
No, that was the mind gem.
The Tesseract was the space gem. Loki had the mind gem. Yeah.
Even still, though, it was just Loki's magic staff, right? Like, it wasn't until...
Can't wait till he shows up. Him.
Loki?
Him.
The guy from Powerpuff Girls?
No.
Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They mentioned him in Guardians 2.
Yep. I didn't even put two and two together when they had like all the golden people in that too. I did not put two and two together until like, no.
At the end when the golden lady's like, by the way, Andy, we're making Adam Warlock.
Scrawled. It's like Peter Parker's dad's Blair's like chalkboard thing. It's got Adam Warlock on the side there with the infinity, with the soul gem symbol on there.
Yeah.
Fuck Amazing Spider-Man. God damn, that movie sucked. It was horrible.
Wasn't as bad as Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It had one really redeeming factor about Amazing Spider-Man 2.
There were a couple little things I liked, but they were little things. Nothing as major as whatever you must be talking about.
Killing Gwen Stacy?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you have to do that.
But, I mean, that was well done enough that it took me by surprise.
One of my little things is happening. In that. When she's falling and he throws the web to catch her, the little image of the web when it's like slow-mo and it's extending and it looks like a hand reaching for her, I really like that directorial choice of that imagery of him reaching for her instead of just a blob of web.
Yeah.
That was well done.
That sequence was, like I said, you kind of thought it was going to happen. It was still shocking when it happened. And that was... Sorry, spoilers if any of you haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Spoilers, don't see The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Just watch Homecoming, because Homecoming is actually good.
Homecoming is fucking amazing.
I don't watch them on a regular basis, but occasionally when I'm bored, I'll randomly watch How It Should Have Ended.
Mm-hmm.
And the Homecoming one had a great moment because it shows when the villain's like in the car with Peter Parker and he's got the gun. So put your hand out here. So David's holding a gun. And I just go, okay, I got super strength, by the way.
Yeah.
I win. I win. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that would have been.
Oh, that part in Homecoming was another amazing sequence when he answers the door.
Yeah.
That part was like, it was like, wait a second. Wait. Oh.
And also Michael Keaton was amazing in that.
Oh, he's Michael Keaton's amazing in everything.
Yeah.
Special Multiplicity.
Arctic Circle, the title for this episode does not need to be spoilers. Don't watch Amazing Spider-Man 2. It just needs to be don't watch Amazing Spider-Man 2. But what were you going to say?
I will agree with Michael Keaton being amazing in general, but he was extra amazing in Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
As boring as Birdman was, he was really good in that.
Birdman is an amazingly good movie that I did not like.
It's not a thin red line for you, where a lot of people seem to think that the movie is amazing, but it's.
Well, I mean, even with as bored as you are, like you can't see the thin red. Like you don't think like it was well executed, or you don't even that. Yeah, okay. Or No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. 75% of the movie is fucking amazing. Until the person who I think is the main character dies, and then we find out it's just Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, it's an old man telling you about his dream. The end.
Fuck that.
Fuck you. Ugh. No, it's fuck you. The movie's just
pretty much just fuck you. Yeah.
The ending, not the ending itself, but it's like the 10 minutes before the ending. Spoilers. No Country.
We've talked about this.
We can't spoil No Country for Old Men because there's no ending. It just kind of keeps going, and then at some point it stops. There's not an ending. There's a credits roll.
And I think probably judging by your tone of voice, uniquely at this table, I understood that they did that on purpose, and I was okay with it. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm a little annoyed, but you got me, movie. You got me.
No, the thing that irritated me was when, what's his name, the assassin gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And nothing and nothing happens. That it's just, it's like, okay, it's like, why was this in the movie?
Because, like, it almost was like, It tried to shake off cliched structural mandatory things, right? Like, in a movie, everything leads to things that matter to the movie.
It's a climax for the film, and climax for the character progressions.
This movie was perfectly okay saying, here's a gun, I loaded it, there it is, and then never coming back to that gun, because sometimes that gun never shows up again in real life. And this movie did this weird. It did this weird thing where it's like, yeah, well, sometimes the guy who's running from an assassin gets caught by the assassin and dies. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sometimes people randomly get T-boned. Sorry. Like, it doesn't have to link together, and that's all terrible and goes against everything you're taught in any sort of filmmaking or writing class.
Yeah.
But the movie did it on purpose, and I was like,
so I was trolled by the movie, is what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of.
That was the thing I didn't like about it, you did have this suspenseful and moment of drama in the film when the guy is hit by the car, but it has no impact.
Yep.
You could take that out of the movie.
He's slightly injured.
he's got a limp.
He limps away.
Yeah,
he's slightly injured.
He bribes some kids and limps away. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he could have just driven away. Right, that was unnecessary. But
yeah, that was my issue with it. If the point was to say, oh, by the way, these storytelling elements that have been part of the storytelling tradition for the past 3,000 years, yeah, fuck them.
That was the point. That's a shitty point. And I understand thinking it's a shitty point. Like, it made me think
we need to get Jake in here to talk about it.
There is a pretentious, boring French film called The Sun that I actually – so I saw it at a film festival with a bunch of friends. Mm. They all despised it. I kind of liked it, and it took that to the nth degree. Like, the main character has like a bad back, and he has to wear like one of those lifting braces for it. And does not matter. There's no dramatic scene where his bad back like holds him back or anything. Mm-hmm. There's like a 5 to 10 minute scene that just shows him at home just like doing some sit-ups and adjusting his brace, you know, and just doing all this shit before he goes to bed. Just a completely pointless 10 minute scene of him doing his daily exercises for his back. Did not matter for the plot at all. But I'm like, yeah, but who are we as the viewer to say that this part of this guy's life isn't important?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, storytelling convention tells you it's not important to the story. Cut that shit out. But the director's like, no, this is this guy's life. It's part of who he is. You're going to watch him do sit-ups for 10 minutes. It's like, okay, sure.
I sound hypocritical, but I'm okay with that. But at the same time, I'm not okay with...
He didn't get killed off screen.
He didn't get killed off screen.
Right?
Yeah. Which... I really enjoyed the artistic... The vision that they had for it, but at the same time as a storytelling,
you got punked.
I got punked, and I didn't like that.
The acting was great. Yep. The directing was great. The cinematography was great. It was just a great movie, except there wasn't a story. Well, no, there was a story, but the story just kind of got tired of itself at some point.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I generally like Coen Brothers films.
Yeah. Well, this is an adaptation, so part of it is, you know, on the author, as somebody's mentioning in the thread, because the author's a nihilist, and so he's like, fuck you. None of this matters. Nothing matters. I hope you die.
I will say it's less that I didn't like that movie, but I thought it was the most overrated of the Coen Brothers movies, because I love their films.
Yeah,
and
I could definitely.
I will agree with that. That was the other problem I had with it, too, is it like everybody in the world was, and that may have changed how I viewed the film when I watched it, as I was expecting... a glorious masterpiece, and what I thought was a glaring flaw in the film, I couldn't understand why other people didn't get that either. Yeah. And our little group that we have here, we all saw that glaring flaw in it, and we all can't understand why other people can't see that. When
do you
they tell
think
us that's good.
Your objection? So if they showed Brolin dying, like if they at least showed that happen, but it still happened, so he still is taken out of the film, do you think you'd be less pissed off or more pissed off? Is it the off-camera that pisses you off, or the main character dying two-thirds of the way through a film that pisses you off?
I think it's the fact that it's off-camera. That if we don't, because we see a lot of rising action for this main character, for what we consider as the main character as the viewer at that time.
The central character, if nothing else.
The central character, yep. And then just suddenly, you're like, oh, he's not here. And then, oh, they're just investigating this. Oh, it's him. Yep. What? I mean, I think even like a quick shot of like him unpacking in the hotel and then Javier Bardem just walks out from behind him.
Sure.
Just that quick cut there would have been fine. It would have been like, oh, fuck, this sucks. And rather than just kind of like, basically, I ordered food and then they presented me with a shit sandwich when they investigated the hotel.
I don't know. I mean,
you would have rather watched them shit on your sandwich at your table, is what you're saying?
Well, then
you're getting the same sandwich.
I wouldn't have eaten it. I wouldn't have been halfway through eating it before. And then they showed me that they shit on it. Well, no,
see, you have a delicious sandwich and you're eating it and you get two-thirds of the way through and then you go, there's shit at the end of this. But if you're eating a sandwich and then they stop you two-thirds of the way, open the sandwich, shit on it, close it, and then give it back to you.
I think our shit sandwich thing. I made an error in comparison.
I think I would have liked the movie more if it went directly from the off camera death to the Tommy Lee Jones with his newspaper scene at the end, and it's just like, okay, yes, this happened and nothing really mattered. Whereas the car accident scene just bothered.
What about the wife scene before that?
The wife scene, is that? I don't remember that scene.
Javier Bardem shows up at the house of the main character's wife and he tries to do the flip a coin call it thing that he does before killing people, and she's like, no, fuck you, I'm not calling it. If you want to kill me, you can kill me, but I'm not giving you the excuse of saying that the coin made you do it. And then it cuts to him leaving the house, and so you don't even get to see her die.
You could leave that ambiguous. And I think if you just took out the car scene.
You just hate the car scene.
I hate the car scene. That is one of my least favorite, probably my least favorite scene amongst good movies.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't bring up the car scene with David ever again.
Well, I don't know. Now I'm going to bring it up a lot. Jim in chat asks if everybody's seen Brick. I've seen Brick, and I really like Brick. I don't know if either of you guys saw Brick.
I mean, his ultimate was kind of sucky. He just basically all you did was just run and hide with him. He hide something until he regenerated. But
he's making a Borderlands reference. Yeah, they got Brick way better in Borderlands 2 when he was Krieger. Krieger's way more fun than Brick was.
Yes.
I was going to say fighting him in Borderlands 2 was better.
Oh, fighting against Brick?
Yeah.
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 I get the sarcastic sag. I really, really wanted to have a Borderlands 2.5 I know there was Borderlands...
Pre-sequel.
It was
1.5.
But I want a 2.5, which is basically Borderlands 2, and just give us all the characters to play.
Well, 3 is still coming out. There's still 3's coming out.
Okay. But just give us all the characters. Yeah, and a zombified Roland. That would be fine. Yeah. Spoilers!
And a diamond pony.
But Brick is good. I recommend Brick.
What is Brick for the uneducated like myself?
Maltese Falcon, fast-talking detective, film noir. You know, like, nah, see? And then the dame comes into my place. Man, 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 man. You know, that style of movie. But it's current age and they're high school kids. But they talk that way, like they're still investigating murders and everything, but they're in high school, and they're like, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt film from like, you know, a decade or so ago. And it's hilarious because sometimes the gimmick, like you almost forget it because you're so into it, and then they'll be like, he's having a talk, like he goes to visit like the big kingpin, but instead of going to like the kingpin's nightclub and talking to him there, it's just the guy's kitchen and his like cul-de-sac house, because they're just high school kids in like the Midwest, and they're talking about like this crime thing, and then in the middle of the scene, like the guy's mom comes in, like, does anybody want some orange juice? And they're like, yes, Mrs. Simmons, thank you. She pours them some juice and wanders off, and then they go back to talking about their heroin cartel. But even without that weird fucking gimmick, it's actually a really good detective crime-style movie. I recommend it.
I'll have to check to see if it's streaming someplace. I'm interested.
I think it's on Netflix. It streams a lot.
It's no Bricktop. Bricktop is probably like one of my... We were talking about favorite villains before, and
Bricktop's
good. I forgot all about Bricktop until it just mentioned Brick, and I was like, that sounds really familiar. Oh, yes, I like Bricktop.
Never trust a man who owns a pig farm.
Yes. You know what we're talking about,
Bricktop. Yes.
Okay, yeah, good.
Of course he does.
You are educated.
Yeah, my wife loves that part of the movie way too much and always threatens people because she does have a friend that owns pigs.
There you go. Yeah.
That was my mother's favorite threat was that she had the keys for a backhoe in the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm. I've lived for the longest time next to the Horicon Marsh. It's a good place to hide a body in a marsh.
I just don't care about going back to prison, so I just wouldn't bother hiding it. That's my threat. Like, I'm a psychopath that's like, I just wouldn't hide you. Like, I'd mount your head on the spike in front of my house. Fuck you. That's my body disposal method.
Your neighbor's house. Your neighbor's house.
Sure.
At least throw the blame at least a house down, one block over.
I'm the sociopath that lives in a 100-year-old convent infested with nun ghosts. Bring it! Not yet. Fingers crossed.
It's just such a... Oh.
You're overlooking the important part. I can own a convent. How cool is that?
It doesn't come with nuns, though.
But it might have nun ghosts.
Yeah, but
it's got the cool little lockers.
So you're saying it has no ghosts?
Right. There's none.
It has nun ghosts.
Yeah.
So I
some nun.
So I dare you to go call the realtor, show up at the place, and ask how many nuns died here.
What kind of ghosts you got? I got none. You got nun ghosts? I got lots of them. Lots of what? Nun ghosts. Third base.
There's somebody that's coming out with a Abbott and Costello film.
Is it Abbott and Costello?
It is. I know one of them is Steve Coogan, and I think John C. Reilly.
But okay,
what?
Like a film about Abbott and Costello?
Correct.
Okay, correct. Because it's hard to make an Abbott and Costello film without Abbott or Costello.
It's actually, I think they're calling it Stan and Ollie.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, no, that's not Abbott and Costello. Wait. What? That almost sounds more like a Laurel and Hardy
kind of thing. Laurel and Hardy is what I'm thinking of.
Laurel and Hardy.
Sorry,
and Hardy
I'm mixing up my comedy teams from way back when. But yeah, it's Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly is Oliver Hardy, and Steve Coogan is Stan Laurel.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the rare people, but I really liked the Three Stooges remake they made recently.
I also really like what was essentially a Marx Brothers film, which was Brain Donors.
Never seen it. Never heard of it either.
Brain Donors was like a 90s movie. It has John Turturro is basically the Groucho Marx of the group, and then a couple other random people. But it's like watching a Marx Brothers film. It really is.
Hmm.
If you like Marx Brothers, you should see Brain Donors.
Definitely an older film.
It's got the mute guy with like props just like Harpo. It's got the fast talker as John Turturro, which is a blatant Groucho ripoff. It is a Marx Brothers film, just without the Marx Brothers.
Hmm.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed.
Chat made a good zinger.
Yep.
Who was Karl? Karl Marx?
Mm-hmm.
The sixth Marx brother?
Mm-hmm.
When I had six razor bores, they were Harpo, Groucho, Chico, Zeppo, Gummo, and Carl. True story. I think that's enough about the MCU growing too big. That was that question.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Probably
I'm
not.
Just glancing at other people's comments.
Are you looking for Zappities?
Well, I could have been.
Jesus Christ. Quick, David, talk about something. Andy's failing us.
So I like K-Dor.
Do you?
Yeah. I actually finally managed to get it on the table last week.
What was it? Winterguard or Man of War or Jax?
None of the above. Legion of Steel.
I don't know what that is.
It's Iron Fangs.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing that exists. I knew I was missing one of their categories.
I was running Irusk 2 with dual Ulans and... Pikeman and all of the solos and the Great Bears, because in theme all of the solos and the Great Bears get counter charge, And since Eros 2 gives Tactician and
they can one of the charge through each other.
Yeah, and one of the solo Markov, one of the solos, also gives Tactician. So you've got this huge bubble. You've got this huge
double bubble.
Yeah, you've got a double bubble of Tactician and
double bubble is the worst gum. Sorry. Yeah.
But you have this huge bubble of Tactician and I got 7 countercharging models that can countercharge through Tactician.
Seven. Because you have the two
Three great bears, Markov, okay. 2 Kovniks, and Sophia.
Okay.
Sophia is one of the 12 models of Christmas, who's actually really damn awesome. So I have seven counter charges behind Tactician. And honestly, one of the things I've really been exploring in design space for lists is playing stuff that is good in and of itself, but also creates difficult game surfaces for my opponent to play into. Like specifically the having 7 counterchargers behind a screen,
right? Because you can't tie them up.
Yeah, because you can't just run something up to engage them to stop the countercharge. Correct. You have to in your turn after I've moved my stuff, you have to plan around it because I get to make decisions after you've moved. Right. And part of the goal of that is to make it more difficult for the other guy to find because there's a best move or there's a set of best moves in any situation. And I'm trying to set it up not just to, because I mean, traditionally you try to make the best move less effective for your opponent, but right. I'm trying to make it more difficult to find the best move by playing stuff that they have to think about a lot of stuff. Yeah. And it worked pretty well because I played Sam, who is one of our locals, who is a very good Trolls player. And he had said after the game that it was difficult to figure out how to play into it because of all of the countercharge and because of all of the stuff I could then immediately respond with.
Yeah, that was the thing with Karchev doesn't have the bonus benefits of being able to run through his own troops and that.
Yeah.
But that's a puzzle too, trying to figure out if Karchev's running a ton of jacks and he's got the battle charged
yeah.
He's got that spell up, then it's going to be annoying. When I was playing, I actually played Legion of Steel as well. I didn't have Sophia at the time, but I ran that with Old Witch 2, just relying on the Markov bubble for the martial discipline.
Yeah.
And that was still really good too.
Yeah. Arctic Circle asks, when is David going to play Grimkin? I don't know. My wife is interested in playing, and looking at the factions, she picked Grimkin, so I may have a Grimkin army at some point in the near future. Or she may have a Grimkin army, and so maybe. It's honestly not on my list because I've got a lot of armies. After Kador, Krix may be the next one I put time into putting together, and I'm planning on picking up Crucible Guard, but I have no immediate plans to do Grimkin for myself.
Yeah.
Although Grimkin is another great example of that. Play something that it's difficult for the other guy to find the best move.
Well, yeah.
Do we have any Grimkin players in Madison right now? I thought Dan picked them up, didn't he? Or he was playing them during the test.
Jake had them for a while.
Yeah. Sam is playing Jake's Grimkin right now. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple.
Then you said he was playing Trolls.
Huh? He was playing Trolls last week.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have Malachi switched over to playing Grimkin now too. So I don't know if we have a very
Brian
dedicated...
Kerr and Travis are both playing Grimkin, and I think we have another one
like
from
locally Madison.
Yeah, I'm Madison.
Well,
somebody we normally
locals,
play on. I mean, extended locally, yeah, we got a lot of things out there. But I mean,
people who might show up
on a
Wednesday in Madison, yeah. For our Wednesday crew, it's Jake / Sam, and somebody else was playing Grimkin.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, we have Rick has been basically touting the Minions flag for a while. I was the only person
really
that would
now.
Bring down models for Kador but never play.
Yeah, we had a ton of Kador for a while, and then everybody switched around, and now people are starting to switch back.
Yeah.
So Andy, what is the next War Machine faction you're going to play so I can just make sure I've got a list for it?
Mm-hmm. I'll play Trollbloods.
Trolls, okay.
Basically, out of all my factions I own, I still collect Trolls. So I have, it's kind of similar to my Kador. Basically, I said I was going to have my Trolls painted for 2015 War Machine Weekend, I think, or 2014 War Machine Weekend. And I wouldn't play them until they were fully painted. So I have not played them since then.
Fair enough.
Yep.
But no, I I mean, I like Kador. I mainly like Old Witch too.
Yeah,
she's been.
I do not have her yet, but I plan on picking her up because I think she's got a lot of. She plays well in a lot of things. I'll probably start with Legion of Steel for her.
Now that it's an official theme force, maybe I'll come back and play a game with Rask and all the lesser minion warlocks. See how that goes. Yeah, I was playing that list before it had benefits.
Yeah.
I loved it before it had benefits.
Yeah, yeah. I know we've talked about this before. I know you want a Rorsch to like something inappropriate that somebody should want.
Yes. I want Rorsch to like a blank wants to blank a blank right in the blank.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. So I said before you should play Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah.
There is a Rask Easter egg in it because there is a necromancer named Rask who happens to be a lizard man.
Huh.
And I'm
that can't be a coincidence.
This isn't a coincidence.
But I really want this to happen. I want a Dahlia too.
Yeah, I know, because they're tassel worms. You want a bunch of different tassel worms.
I want a whole fleet of tassel worms because, goddamn, those things are really cool looking.
Yeah.
So I want big eight-eyed cobras eating people. That's what I want. Yeah. So notice I didn't say one-eyed cobra, too, because it's just really...
Well, the one-eyed cobra doesn't eat things. Things eat the one-eyed cobra.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what kind of movies you watch.
That's true. In the Academy Award-winning Eero Tsukidoji, Legend of the Overfiend. Yes.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Those one-eyed cobras destroy cities.
They do. Carpet bombing God. Tokyo.
Just the shot.
Yeah. I like how we all have the exact same shot in our head. I like that movie way more than I should. that's the definition of guilty pleasure. Like, every once in a while, people are like, they don't like the term guilty pleasure. Like, you should just like what you like and don't feel guilty about it. But when you unironically enjoy your Tsukidoji as a story.
We should make that a Christmas tradition. We should all just get together
and just watch that
together. And then have a video of us watching it together, too. Just slowly, like... glancing back and forth. No video. We could just have the shot of us and just the audio of it, what's going on.
We need the MST3K treatment.
No. We're not allowed to talk throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
All you could do is maybe make eye contact or do some type of signs of some sort. No talking, just the audio from the film and then just us watching it.
You take all the sex out of the movie, it would be 12 minutes long, but I like the core story. I like the core story.
I like your story about your t-shirt.
Yeah.
It too.
I found, I searched for it online and I found sites that had been selling that t-shirt as like not antique because it's not that old, but as
a throwback.
I mean, it was originals. Like, they weren't reprints. They had the t-shirt from the 90s.
Oh.
but I forget what the term is for the stuff that's nostalgically old, but not antique old. Vintage. That's what it was. They were selling vintage t-shirts of the Eero Tsukidoji.
I don't like it being considered vintage. Vintage is like a wine or so, but not a t-shirt.
Well, you know, or the brew pub in my parking lot.
For what?
The vintage. It's a brew pub that's in the Office Depot parking lot.
Oh, that's the Office Depot you work at.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in my parking lot, there's a brew pub called The Vintage. It's really good. They have nachos that the three of us could split and we would all be full and there would still be nachos left.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the shirt I owned. You can't really tell. It just looks like a cool anime monster.
Yeah.
You don't know why he's glowing. What's going on down there?
Yep.
He's got a flashlight between his legs.
See, even that says vintage 80s. Wow.
Yeah.
Was that in the 80s? I think it was. Maybe 89?
I'm sorry, it'd have to be at the end of the 80s.
I'm going to let you do the Google search for it to find out.
Oh, yeah.
That came out when I was in high school.
I already had Eero Tsukidoji in my search. Yeah, no, that was mislabeled. It's 1993.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know there was a sequel. Eero Tsukidoji 2, Legend of the Demon Womb.
Yeah.
I believe we...
Oh,
we
that's the 1993, is the sequel. The first one, is it 89?
It is
1989, yeah. Yep.
There's more than one sequel, I believe.
Yeah. I think Brian and I, I think we owned.
Oh my God! There's at least four of them.
Yeah.
Then so the Yuritsuka Doji 4 was 1993, and I see something called Yuritsuka Doji New Saga from 2002. That one was direct to video.
Are you saying the other ones had a theatrical release?
Probably not.
Our audio listeners will not be able to hear this. Theatrical release.
Air quotes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We should probably do some Zappity Grumbles. We already talked about one already. I didn't see any in the chats.
Hey, trivia. This was the first anime given the NC-17 rating by the MPAA. Yes. Not surprised.
Yeah, definitely not surprised. RoboCop was the first one to get an X rating for like a normal theatrical release until they updated it.
All right. There's no Zappities? What?
I didn't see any Zappities, but I was going to check on Patreon in case somebody responded to that.
You go on there.
There is no Patreon there. All right. All right.
Well, all right then.
So we go over, unless somebody wants to post a Zappity Grumble inside the chat.
Yep, hurry it up.
We can interrupt our recommendations if they do.
Yeah. Yes. My recommendation is
Yuritsuka Doji.
No, it is an older recommendation that we talked about before. So I am exactly where I was yesterday.
Right there.
Than what I was 6 to 8 months ago when it was out. I'm recommending you should watch Legion. Because I just rewatched the first episode of Legion, and I'm making that my week goal is to watch all the episodes of Legion. So yeah. I rewatched the first episode, which was good, because, man, if I would have watched a second episode just now, I think I would have been lost. Lost entirely, but I mean, it would have definitely, getting that refresher in there was really nice.
That show is damn good.
I really, not talking about spoilers or anything, but I mean, it's been out for 8 months now. Everyone's been really good about not spoiling it to me, which has been awesome. I really like the end sequence on there when they're escaping.
Yeah.
Just the amount of violence that's happening during that sequence is really good.
I like I'm blanking on his name, but the telekinesis guy.
Yes.
What I like about him a lot, and you see this in that sequence, but they never overtly mention it, so it's either just a stylistic choice or it is a thing, but you never see him use that power subtly, so I don't know if that character even has control or if it's just everything's hit like a Mack fucking truck. Every time he uses it, things just fly into the next continent. He never just like bumps something 3 inches, and I love that. I like to think he has no control. It's all or nothing. But yeah, no, that show's really good. Not a spoiler also, but the last episode has an after credits stinger thing.
Okay.
So there is like a teaser for season two at the very, very end. But sure. Not every episode, just the last episode.
I've heard The Gifted is really good too, and I unfortunately did not put any of that on my net.
Which on
my...
one's the one on the moon, Gifted or Inhumans?
Inhumans is on the moon.
And that one's the one that's terrible. That's the one that's show run by the same person that show ran Iron Fist.
Yeah. I've heard that it's better. It's better after watching it for a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, you're just like, oh, all right.
Getting whipped is better after a while because your skin starts to go numb. I mean, well, it doesn't mean I want it to happen. Well, maybe that's how it
is with the Inhumans. Yeah. You know? It's like, I watch this great when I have glaucoma.
You're boring, David.
Wow.
Sorry.
Did you see Legion?
No. No, I have not seen Legion. I've seen part of Inhumans, and the first two episodes were almost unwatchably. Well, I was in the same room while my wife was watching Inhumans, and the first couple of episodes were unwatchably bad, and it got better than that.
Do you have Charter?
Yes, we do.
Because in Legion, that's how you're watching, right? It's on demand with
nope.
Charter?
I actually
had it saved?
I had it saved in my DVR for the past 6 months.
I think I have a coworker who was that's who it was, because I was mentioning Legion a couple weeks ago, but I think it's on demand on Charter Spectrum. I would really recommend Legion. Okay. It's one of my favorite. It technically takes place, well, I mean, I guess I don't have to technically, but like Wolverine doesn't show up or anything, but it does take place in the X-Men universe.
Yeah, it's one of Xavier. It's Xavier's
kid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he just said he didn't know things, so I wasn't going to say that out loud. But
I know who Legion is.
Yeah, that's who Legion is.
But they don't like Xavier. You know, they don't shove it down your throat. It could just be its own story. But no, it's really, really good, really well acted.
I would consider it almost being a very kind of like an artsy, at least the first episode.
Random Bollywood dance sequence.
Yeah, it's a very artsy styled, It's very stylized all through it. It's well done.
Well, because the main character is unclear what's real and what's fake, and so the writers and directors decided to make it so you as a viewer were also unclear what's real and what's fake, and that's a really cool viewing experience.
Yeah, that's also the reason why I wanted to watch the first episode again too.
Yeah,
because it's a neat episode. Yeah, watch Legion, and
also has Jemaine Clement in it.
Yep,
eventually.
Piss off, Ghost.
That's not Jemaine Clement.
No, but could
be. It's a coworker of his.
Yeah. Another thing too is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is starting up soon too. You should watch that. Did you watch last season with Ghost Rider?
I watched zero Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw like 5 minutes of once while waiting for my car in a mechanic shop.
Oh, it's been good.
Okay.
Of course, you did not like Winter Soldier, and that's actually...
I only didn't like it because it was terrible. If it had been good, I probably would have liked it.
That is about the point when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kicked it into basically drive. Basically, they were kind of like grinding gears for like the first like 3 quarters of the season.
Right.
And then suddenly they went, oh, you have to press the clutch first.
Well, yeah, I think then, the Hydra betrayal thing gave them a plot line to latch on to.
Yeah.
Right.
And it worked.
Like Bill Paxton. I think I saw Bill Paxton explode.
Yes.
So, you know.
That was around that time.
Yeah.
But basically, the last season, they had Ghost Rider on it, and not Ghost Rider as in, you know, the TV show for kids, but it was actually Ghost Rider. And that, his appearance in the show.
Yeah, the Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
is so much better.
He's got a car. Car's dumb. Supposed to be a motorcycle.
No, that's
what
actually
hell?
How that Ghost Rider is.
What? No, the car's the dumb.
The Robbie Ray's Ghost Rider is a... has got a muscle car.
Yeah.
It works fucking well, too. All right, yeah. Watch Legion. Hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Also, that was when I was watching that, I was looking at it because I hadn't read any of the Ghost Rider stuff for a long time. I was like, oh, this is the new... I was like, this is the new Ghost Rider. I was looking at it. I was like, wait a second. It's like an Overwatch. Because he has a... it's his brother is Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Is Reaper in Overwatch Ghost Rider's brother?
Gabriel Reyes?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those standard things that well, Blizzard has a thing with, you know, they put a lot of their cultural things that they like into the games that they make.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to say that Reaper's brother in Overwatch is Ghost.
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, considering.
But aren't like all the people in Overwatch like related? Like one of them's the mom, and then there's like
That's all shipping.
That's all shipping. None of that's real.
It's not real.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Everyone calls Soldier 76 dad because he's just the old man of the group.
I thought that was all really linked and weird.
The only one that's official is Anna is Pharah's mother.
Correct. Yeah, and that's why everyone calls her mom.
And that Winston is a proud trans woman.
No. Say your recommendation.
You're not taking that away from me. Winston is a trans woman.
No.
Do it, Blizzard. Be brave. Anyway, I'll just recommend Justice League because everybody's shitting on it without seeing it, and it was surprisingly good. And I went into enough detail, so I'll just pass on to David.
All right. I will recommend the album Sailing to Philadelphia by Mark Knopfler.
The what now?
The album Sailing
no,
to
I
Philadelphia
heard all that. What,
by Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler?
Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler.
Yes, he was the guitarist and lead singer for Dire Straits. But,
I knew I recognized the name. Yeah. Okay.
But I think he did his solo work after Dire Straits broke up was both not nearly as popular and, in my opinion, much, much better.
Sure.
So, I mean, Sailing to Philadelphia may be my favorite album right now. My favorite album changes on a regular basis.
Sure.
But Sailing to Philadelphia may be my favorite album. And also, he has several other good albums, especially Kill to Get Crimson and Shangri-La. But listen to Sailing to Philadelphia. It's a fantastic album.
More in the rock area or...
Yeah, it's rock or Tulsa sound, maybe, but in that vicinity.
Sure. Is it very Dire Straits-esque? Like, if I liked Sultan's a Swing, am I going to say it's kind of like, is it to the extent where when CCR sued Fogerty for ripping off CCR?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
way
like that.
Too much.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I love about Knopfler's songwriting is that he does a lot of historical things, and it's like, because I mean, it's like I often it's easy to critique a lot of popular songs, or I mean even popular rock music, about abstract concepts, especially love, or physical concepts like sex. But a lot of Knopfler songs are very historical. I mean, Sultan's a Swing is a great example of that it's very specifically about stuff that happened, and he writes a lot of songs like that.
Well, it's like Money for Nothing, like, isn't a made up thing. He was shopping and literally heard that conversation out of some guys in like, he was buying a TV, mm-hmm. and the electronics guys were just saying those exact words, and he's just like, this shit is gold.
Yeah, but because there's a song basically about touring Edinburgh. The Sailing to Philadelphia is about Mason and Dixon. I mean, there's a song about one of his friends that was an IndyCar driver, and I mean, just a list of songs and various historical things, and I love it. And on one of the other albums, he's got a song both about Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, which is hilarious, and what's his name, Sonny Liston as well.
So, oh, cool.
So I'm a huge fan of Mark Knopfler, and I think he's underappreciated as a solo artist. So listen to some of his music.
I'll pull some of that up on my way home. Talbeast wanted my thoughts on Orion. I have no thoughts on Orion. I don't even know his spell list or his abilities, because I took War Room off of my phone and my tablet because I didn't want to be tempted to play War Machine again.
He had an interesting conundrum for Who's the Boss. He has a spell that's specifically offensive and a passive ability that could be interpreted either way. He has a spell that puts a focus onto a warjack.
Sure.
And enemy models within 2 inches or of whatever stack of focus on that jack.
Sure. 2 per focus after he does it.
Yep. Takes a POW 10.
Okay.
Magical energy damage roll.
Okay.
And that can be used on his own jacks.
Sure.
As well, too. Or the jack and
so what's the Who's the Bossy?
The Who's Boss version of it, though. So if you are a warlock,
you take a fury off.
You would have to take a fury off of a friendly war beast,
and then,
or you could.
Why does that have to be friendly? The original one doesn't say friendly warjack. You should be able to strip a fury off of an enemy war beast.
Because how we do offensive spells in Who's the Boss, they stay the same,
right?
No matter what it is,
right?
So there's 2 aspects of the spell, of either being used as an offensive spell, which you would still put onto an enemy warjack a focus, and then enemy models take damage which nearby. The passive version of that for a warlock, you would have to remove a fury off of something.
Right, but why are you... So his normal one can be used on a friendly or enemy when he's a war caster.
Correct.
But when he's a warlock, you're restricting it to friendly only? Well, is my question.
It's generally something that's in his battle group.
Not in the original version.
The original is just... It's warjack, and if you're playing...
So I can zap my opponent's warjack.
Yes.
Right. So, but then why, when you change him to a warlock, can't I zap my opponent's warbeast?
Warjack. No, you can still zap your opponent's warjack.
Okay.
For the passive version of the
passive
stuff,
does specify battle group?
No, it does not.
So none of it does.
It just says target warjack gains a focus.
Right.
And then, then model hit takes...
Yeah, I get that. I'm just unclear why in his warlock form you're then introducing a battle group restriction when there isn't one on his original form.
Because it's either target enemy or base warjack, and the warjack that would be his base would be in his battle group.
What?
For convergence.
Anyway.
I went through the same circular argument with... Not circular argument. I just went through this kind of the same thing. I don't have a way that I'm explaining it properly.
Okay.
I can show you the spell.
I know the spell. I actually remember now seeing the spell. I'm not following your logic, but that's okay.
The reason being is because all offensive spells are not changed at all in wording.
Right.
And since that one has a very specific passive ability on it,
right,
that would change for whatever faction that he's in, whatever game system he's in. Because the passive ability for the warjack... Or if he was a warcaster, is being able to cast it on his own, on Jax and his battle group.
Sure. Okay. I mean, if you just change Warjack to Warbeast, he still can cast it on ones in his battle group, and it remains also available to cast it on other people's Warbeasts. If you literally just change the word Warjack to Warbeast.
It just goes back past against what we have normally set for the rules for how offensive spells are cast.
Okay.
Well, you're a human.
Like domination would not change because you are a warlock.
Sure.
And that's basically the same thing. If you are a warlock, domination is still domination. Same thing with Rampager. That doesn't change.
Sure.
To pertain whatever.
No, and so I understand that you wanted to change it so that he could still. You wanted to make an exception and change it so that he could still target his own people.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
well,
then
I mean,
you are then hamstringing him by taking it away as an offensive ability.
Well,
I'm not. I'm not taking it away. He still does it. He can still. It's worded as target enemy warjack.
Target enemy or friendly
warbeast.
This entire conversation, I was under the impression that he could only target friendlies with your
nope,
version
nope,
of it,
sorry.
Which is why I thought that was the worst thing ever.
I think this exact conversation.
That was an important thing to mention.
This exact same conversation happened to Travis and I in chat. And it ended exactly with that, too. It was like, no, you can target enemy warjacks.
So the third time you explain this to somebody, make it clear that they can still target enemy warjacks.
It's worded perfectly in the spell of errata
okay.
that I have for him.
Good. Hooray! Criminy.
Crisis averted.
It's not really a crisis.
Now I need to go.
Subverted anyway.
Yes.
Oh, somebody was asking Nathan why no more war machine. Just because
I'm a terrible person. But somebody farther up asked what original fantasy race would you make?
Mine would have to be a mixture of that in a class, and it's in every single DM that I've ever talked to said I can't do it.
What?
I want to be a quickling thief. I want a movement 96 quickling thief.
I don't know what a quickling is or movement 96 is.
So movement 96 is how fast you can move in, I think, a second. So it's like 96 feet in a second.
It's pretty fast.
It's really, really fast.
So you're the Flash.
Yeah. But it's a quickling. So it's like a brownie. It's
Aggie's
basically,
chat. Hi, Aggie.
You know what brownies
yeah.
are. So yeah. it's like a brownie, but it's really fast.
So it's the Flash the Flash as portrayed by Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
Okay.
Probably a more spry Peter Dinklage.
Rude!
Actually, I have seen him jump onto a table and run across at somebody.
Yeah.
After being called an elf for the last time. God, that, I'm telling you, Elf is probably like one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time.
Elf is really good.
And that whole sequence where he gets attacked.
No, I think I'm the reason why Nathan isn't playing War Machine, because the last game I'm aware of Nathan playing...
It was not against you.
It was not... That was close to it, though.
That was my third to last game. That was the first of my self-inflicted three strikes.
Yeah. Well, so I was playing...
The PDF viewer on War Room is actually the third
okay,
strike.
Okay, the PDF viewer on War... Okay, I feel better
fuck
now.
Fuck looking up rules in the PDF viewer on War Room.
We all can agree on... Fuck. PDF viewer can go fuck itself.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, seriously,
okay. I feel better.
Come up with a fucking better system, or just packages. Like, if you go to PDF Viewer, just have it open up into your phone.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Oh, fucking thing is the worst.
Trying to scroll on that, it's just infuriating.
But I had a terrible game with Nathan that ended up frustrating us both, and I was an idiot because I didn't realize it at the time, because I was playing his Aurora list, and I was playing some Minoth bullshit with three Redeemers, and I was in a situation where I looked at it, and I said, well, he's got Aurora close to me, he's going to be able to get close and do some damage, so what I'm going to try to do is chip some damage off of Aurora with my Redeemers so I can hurt her enough so that if she comes closer, I can then chip her enough more and maybe kill her next turn. I was trying to back off Aurora.
She's on a hill. She's camping. Yeah. She's out of range. All kinds of great stuff.
So I'm flinging AEs in that area and just hoping, because I've got 9 AEs.
You need to rewind Nathan.
No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah.
I've got nine AEs, so probably I'm going to hit, I mean, on average, I'm going to hit her with three of them and just with boosted blast damage. Hopefully chip enough that
I can
like
dice minus 8 or something.
Yeah, on blast, on boosted blast damage. It
does
okay.
not end well.
And so while I'm doing this, flinging AEs and trying to chip on Aurora, who's like slightly to the right of my target for the AEs, the AEs keep going several inches off to the left, and as if attracted by magnets, hit all of Nate's support models one by one, and then I spike the dice on blast damage rolls every time. And while this is happening, Nathan is getting frustrated because these AEs are laser targeting his support, and I'm not really paying any attention to this because I'm trying to chip his caster.
He's just missing Aurora.
Yeah, and getting frustrated because
like, I keep missing Aurora. Meanwhile, my army's dead.
Where I think I killed like two Enigma Foundries.
Was I in the same room?
Because he killed two Enigma Foundries with blast damage.
Yes.
Because Jesus.
Yeah, dude, I was not happy.
Was I in the same room? Because you could blame that on me.
Yeah, those
too.
Were definitely Andy drifts. Yeah. Man.
So yes, it's partially my fault because I did not realize that it's like, oh, by the way, I didn't realize that I had like crippled all of the recursion in his army because I was so laser focused on just chipping a little bit of damage off of Aurora so I could kill her next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was like third to last one. But no, we'll see. I don't know how long it's been since I've played. Has it been like 6 months yet?
It's been about that. Okay, about 8 months or so. I know you possibly around maybe June or July.
Maybe I'll try playing again sometime. Yeah. Love the game. Love the game. To answer the race thing, I thought of the whole time I've been thinking, I thought of what would be a cool concept for a fantasy race. And then I realized that what I was thinking of is the villain from Legion, so I won't say it. But that would be a cool race if there was a whole race of that person. I can't say it because the two of you are here, but anybody listening who watched Legion, I want a whole race. You guys would actually know the villain probably if I talked about it because it is a comic character, but I don't want to spoil who the villain ends up being in Legion.
It's not Lockjaw.
But a race of that would be really cool to me.
Lockjaw is the giant dog from Inhumans, right?
Yeah.
Is it Lockjaw?
Oh, yeah, it is Lockjaw. Yeah. He's actually in Legions. It's a crossover. No.
And I'm trying to think. Was it, what is the little dragon that hung around Kitty Pryde?
Oh, the butt Jiggles.
No. No, it was not.
It's not Butt Jiggles?
Not Butt Jiggles.
Remember that time Kitty Pryde rode a giant bullet through the earth?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the timelines she dies that way. There's like a giant bullet shooting at Earth, and so she just like jumps on it and phases it out so it goes through the Earth, and she's just riding it through space forever. Like Bender floating in Futurama.
But
Hi, Travis.
But
what?
I need you for my spinoff War Machine podcast.
Yeah, Travis can be on the
Lockheed, thank you.
Lockheed's actually his last name. It's Martin Lockheed.
You don't need a spinoff War Machine podcast. How are you going to record it?
Well, we met with you.
No, I'm not going to be on it.
Well, good. But you'll be here in your house. You'll hit play and leave like you do with the ladies.
You can be
the podcast, no. Not just in general. That's what you do with the ladies.
Stop giving out my secrets. Son of damn it.
No, you can, Andy. You've got to be the producer here because so you have crippled system and you have lost aspect. Mm-hmm. If you add echo chamber to that, then you could say then you have a media empire because I think it's when you have three different series going.
Could be like that's when I had the MOW empire.
That's when it's an empire.
I do.
Yeah, actually, the MOW empire still exists.
Was it? Yeah,
this is something from 17 years ago. It's kind of funny.
So I'm just trying to contribute to the crippled system media empire.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
echo chamber. I like it. A bunch of random shit that's dumb.
Huh? It's like our main podcast, though.
Yeah. No, but it'll be on topic.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, crippled system should switch to an actual War Machine podcast, and the echo chamber should be the shit that we're doing right now.
I will say there aren't enough Gwent podcasts, and you could get me, Jim, and Keith already. There's the Gwentleman. Which is a great podcast name for a Gwent podcast,
that
by the way, the Gwentleman. But there needs to be a second, a competitor.
You could, if you would all dress up like female, you could do ladies and Gwentleman.
Ladies and Gwentleman, please. What we could also do is we can show up for the podcast and stay on topic, but we do like a half hour of you talking Guild Ball, a half hour of him talking War Machine, a half hour of me talking Gwent, and the other people just smile and nod and act like they know what the hell they're talking
and
about.
And drink.
So we can have Katie on the podcast.
Questions. You can be the Watsons, right? You know what I mean? Like, I can go, oh, interesting. Tell me more about Guild Ball, We can play straight men to each other.
No.
Like Zeppo-style straight man, not like,
Oh. Not like Mo?
What?
Mo is the straight man of the Stooges.
Right. I meant as opposed to...
He's like the normal one.
Homosexual. Never mind.
Oh, you what? All right. Yeah, and eventually, yeah, there's... I guess I'm going to have a Guild Ball Codcast as well, eventually. Well,
yeah, okay, there you go, Media Empire, yeah. Like I said.
And you're going to market Guild Ball Cod pieces, too? Is that what I heard?
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. It's for the Rochambeau at the beginning.
Sure.
That's how much better it is than the other game.
Instead of a dice off, you just kick each other in the genitals to see who goes first?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, much like the beard in Age of Signar, eunuchs have a distinct advantage in Guild Ball.
Well, it depends. I mean, I assume a eunuch would still feel some pain.
I didn't say they'd feel no pain, but I think they'd feel less. They'd
probably feel less, yeah. Well, it depends. We'd have to have rules and regulations in place, too. I mean, you can't go out and get any steel-toed boots or anything like that. I think it would basically be you could wear socks and then do it.
The Irish have a sport called shin-kicking.
No.
Where you put your hands on each other's shoulders and you take turns kicking each other in the shin.
Fuck that.
And when you can't lift your feet off the ground, except the kicker can lift one foot, obviously. But the other person can't try to, like, they can try to wiggle their legs, like, side to side, but they can't dodge. And so they, like, rub lard on their shins to try to make it so it can glance deflect. Off. Yeah. Yeah. Shin kicking. That's a real sport.
I would say you'd have to do that barefoot, too.
Oh, no. Yeah. They wear boots.
No.
They wear boots, and the boots sometimes got the medals on the tips. Like, yeah. I think the professional shin-kicking leagues frown on steel-toed boots, but traditionally, it was a brutal sport, man. They were talking like, you know, cripple people for life.
Was it Birdie from Street Fighter, who is the big British guy?
I don't know.
He's like a big
British. Yeah, he's British.
Yeah, he had giant boots with the giant...
I only played Dan.
Oh, fuck Dan.
I like Birdie.
Yeah, Birdie was... Dave, I think you and I have very similar tastes in video games and other things.
Yeah, Birdie had my favorite anime. It was
and facial hair.
And facial hair too. Yeah, yeah. No, but Birdie of the grapplers had my favorite animation for an actual special throw.
Better than T-Hawk's head spinning thing into the ground. I loved. Well, I did.
That. I like that too. But I like the Birdie's chain throw.
Oh better. Yeah, his chain grab. Yeah. Yeah. Dave, when you grew your beard, was it more out of just laziness or because you wanted to?
There have been different phases in my life where it's been one or the other.
Okay.
And right now it's because I want to.
Okay. All right.
Travis is talking Who Hot on the chat. I know Andy's so happy they got rid of the garlic sauce on Who Hot. Or the mean bean sauce, whatever sauce it was.
Travis, you should come to Madison for a podcast and we will eat at Who Hot.
Good story.
Yep. Yes. Great story. Yeah, they got rid of the mean bean garlic sauce. But I've had enough sauce there to somewhat replicate it as much as I can.
You've found the recipe?
Something that works.
I guarantee if you go online, somebody already has gotten down the exact ratio to use of their existing things to recreate it.
Yeah, it's just basically use whatever kind of garlic sauce that they have there. But
is Who Hot like BD's?
Who Hot is the
Mongolian
with barbecue. The big skillet, and you just give them the
okay, yeah, those are BD's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, we should and I know nobody cares about this here, so I'm going to talk about it on the air.
Yeah.
We should have another Who Hot or a what's the place downtown?
Samba is awesome.
We should have another Samba. Remember, like Saturday, like a Sunday morning.
The Sunday brunch is the correct time to go to Samba's. It's half the price and just as good.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to call it, guys. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much to our Patreons for contributing, and we shall end up seeing you guys next week, I assume.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be here?
Yep.
See no reason why not.
All right. We'll see how it goes.
I'll let you know what I replace Avlok the Sage with in my deck.
All right.
Thanks. I know you're keen to find out how it turns out.
All right.
Bye.
See y'all next week.